Okay, so last time we learned, we spoke about cooking non-food items. Now we're going to move on to cooking food items, and cooking food items falls into two large categories. There's cooking a davar yavesh, and there's cooking a davar lach, right? There's cooking solids, and there is cooking liquids. So the Rambam in Parak Tes Halacha Hey is based on a Gemara in Menaches on Nun Zayin. Right? The Gemara in Menaches on that Nun Zayin talks about eating a carbon meat, like cooking carbon meat. And the Gemara says, and I don't know how much people prepared or didn't prepare, but the Gemara in Daf Nun Zayin in Menaches says that it's like four lines in the top. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hiniach Basar Gabi Gacholim, Hipech Bo Chayev, Lo Hipech Bo Pater. Right? If you have meat, which is on the coal, so if you flip it, you're Chayev. If you don't flip it, you're Pater. So the Gemara asks, Hey Chadami, Ile Madop Ilo Hipech Be Lo Basho Pshita. If the case is that the meat is on the coals, and if I don't flip the meat, so it's not going to cook at all. So of course, when I flip it, I am cooking on Shabbos. Of course, that's obvious. Ella, de'ilo mehapech, nami lo have a bishul, so am I lo mechayiv. Right? If you don't turn it over, so it's going to cook. So how come you're not chayiv? Or right, that's the Gemara's kasha. Right? If it's not going to cook, so of course you're going to be chayiv. And if it will cook anyway, so why would you be chayiv? So the Gemara answers, Lo tzricha, di ilo hipich bei, have a basho mitzad echad, kemacho ben drusoi, v'chi mahapich bei, basho mishnei tzadim, kemacho ben drusoi, v'kamashmulan d'cho mitzad echad, kemacho ben drusoi, lo klum hu. Zuck the Gemara, that the case is it's going to cook to macho ben drusoi. And by the way, Rashi writes over here in Menachos Nun Zayin, Macho Ben Drusoy, remember, Ben Drusoy is our fleeing fugitive, right? So he breaks into the house and he's gonna cook food as little as possible because he just wants to get out before they catch him. So Macho Ben Drusoy, Rashi writes, is Shlish, is Mevushala. Right? Rashi Shita in Menachos is that Macho Ben Drusoy means you cook it to a third. So the Gemara in Menachos says that in order to violate Bishul when it is Maichel Ben Drusoy, it has to be that Hipech Bo, that you flip the meat over, meaning to say that to be Chayev from Maichel Ben Drusoy, it has to be that you're cooking the meat on two sides. The Gemara says in the next line, Amar Rava, im nitzle bo kigro geres mitzad echad, you're Chayev. Right? If it's mamish roasted, a grogeres of it. Remember, we have a shear by all malachos. To be chayiv, you need a certain minimal amount. So if you fully cook something to the extent of a grogeres, then you're going to be chayiv. So macho ben drusoy, it has to be that you cook it on both sides. But if you're cooking it kigrogeres, if you cook, excuse me, on one side, but it's completely cooked, then you're going to be chayiv. Got it? That's the Gemara. Now, Rambam paskens like this in Perek Tes Halacha Hey. The Rambam Halacha Hey Halacha Vav. The Rambam writes that if you have meat, hiniach basar gabi gecholim, if you cook it kegrogeres, even in two or three places, you're chayiv. But if it is cooked kechatzi bishul, Mitzad echad pater, actually hafach bo v'yispasho chatzi bishul mishnei atzdodim. So the Rambam quotes this Gemara, Gemara Menachos and Nun Zayin, and the Rambam though says, unlike Rashi, that when we talk about nispasho kemaychol ben drusoy, the Rambam writes that that is cooking it half cooked. Okay, so let's just talk a few terms. What does it mean that something is a third cooked or something is a half cooked? Is there any way of.
I think with meat, sometimes isn't it easier to tell just based on like the color of it? Okay, but even so, how can you tell if the meat is, when you go to a restaurant, so they could say, I want my steak medium rare, I want my steak rare, I want, what's considered half cooked, what's considered a third cooked? So, what?
It's a very personal question.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a personal question. Subjective. The Chazon Ish writes in Siman, I give you the Maariv Malkum over here somewhere. The Chazon Ish in Siman Lamed Zayin Sif Katan Vav, in the part that's in the brackets, the Chazon Ish says that we divide it based on time. If it takes an hour to cook a piece of meat, so half cooked is, right, this is higher mathematics, half cooked is 30 minutes, a third cooked is 20 minutes. Right? That's the Chazon Ish's understanding. In the Sefer Orchos Shabbos, it's in Perek Beis, Ha'orah 7. By the way, I don't know if we mentioned when we went through the good Svarim on Shabbos, the Orchos Shabbos is tremendous. It's a marvel Sefer. So in the Orchos Shabbos, so there's a Rabbi Reuben and I think a Rabbi Gelber. They are both the Rabbonim. Do you remember there was like a terrible massacre in like a shul in Har Nof? Like Rav Twersky's brother was killed. So they're the Rabbonim on that shul. Like this is these are real Jews. So they quote that Rav Vosner is uncertain. And it could be that there's really no machlokas. In the sense of Michael Ben Vosner is uncertain that we just like divide it based on time, especially because if you cook something, it takes a very long time till you get to a certain degree of cooking, and things become much more cooked much faster when you're at the end of the bell curve, right? You're building up, you're building up, you're building up. Now the Chazon Ish writes anything until Yad Soledis doesn't count. Okay, fine. So we'll cut off that first, like 2.5% of the bell curve. But then it goes up, it goes up, it goes up, right? And it takes a longer time to get up. And once it hits the top, the roller coaster comes down really quickly, right? So the cooking towards the end happens much faster than the cooking towards the beginning. So just dividing the time equally is not so mistaber. LMI, what it means is whether the food is edible for a fleeing fugitive, right? And it could be, therefore, that there's no real machlokes Rashi and the Rambam in the sense of what would people eat when they're, right, breaking and entering. Now again, like the Pashtus is there is a machlokes, but it's very hard to be magdir. It's very hard to define exactly what this machlokes is. The Mishnah Berurah Haskins that ideally, we assume that Machlo ben Drusoy is a half cooked, right? Where's that Mishnah Berurah? I give it to you, the Maariv Makomos. The Mishnah Berurah is Siman Reish Nun Gimel Sif Katan Lamed Ches, right? The Mishnah Berurah over there writes Mishnah Berurah and Reish Nun Gimel Sif Katan Lamed Ches. Macho ben Drusai. Now, this, by the way, is talking about the other halach of Macho ben Drusai. Let's go slowly. We're talking about Macho ben Drusai in the sense of when am I chayiv for bishul? If I cook it to Macho ben Drusai, if I cook a salad to this degree of cooking, a third, a half, whatever it is, then I'm chayiv for bishul. There's another halach of Macho ben Drusai, where if the food was partially cooked, Erev Shabbos, I'm allowed to leave that food on an exposed fire. Right? I'm not worried, Shema Yechata, I'm not worried that you'll stoke the coals because the food's already cooked. Right? You're not going to be so desperate. So you won't really stoke the coals. So in that context, in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Machol Ben Drusai, I would say, the Lahakel version of Machlo ben Drusai, not the Lahachmir version of Machlo ben Drusai. Right? Machlo ben Drusai in, as a kula, meaning once it's Machlo ben Drusai, I could leave it on the exposed fire. So over there, the Mechaber writes, Machlo ben Drusai,
right, means, right, doesn't he say that it is like chatzi bishul? That he says it's like chatzi bishul, and the Mishnah Berurah writes that Shulchan Aruch later on says it's chatzi bishul. B'makom hadchak, you could be makel that it's like a third bishul. You could be makel on Rashi. Now, makom hadchak again means in the kula sort of way. You're like really desperate on Erev Shabbos. You don't have a blech. You want to just leave the food on the exposed fire. So that's a shas hadchak. It's like a few minutes of Shabbos is cooked a third of the way.
For us, like the chum was the kula.
Correct, right? In other words, for us, you have to be machmir not to cook something a third of the way, because in the chumrah, exactly, right? That's the point. Fine. So that's the issue of cooking something to Michael Ben Jerusalem. So here's the question in Lomdus. I don't understand. Why is it that if I cook food, Bishul Kol Tzarko, so even if only one side of the steak gets cooked, I'm chayiv. But if it's Meichel Ben Drusai, I have to flip the steak. Right? If I'm cooking the food, right, Ben Drusai, let's say Rashi, a third of the way. So if it's only Ben Drusai on one side, I'm not chayiv. I'm only chayiv if I flip the steak. And I have Ben Drusai on two sides. Like, one second. If Machlo Ben Drusai is cooking, so I'm cooking if it's on the top of the meat also. And if it's not cooking, so Mali, what difference does it make if I flip it? Right? How come when you cook all the way, even, right, if it's Mevushal Kol Tzarko, even if, what's it called? Even if it's only on one side, how come then you're chayiv? Yes, ma'am.
I don't know, maybe it has to do with edible or not. But fully cooked on one side, I'm used to go, what's fully cooked? Like a whole piece? Like, does
I
it
mean,
go all
like,
the way through the other side?
no, it's not going all the way through. I just have, let's say I
Yeah.
have a thick, what do they call it, like a cowboy steak, right? Like, it's, you can buy it in Gourmet Glad in the Five Towns, like $500, right? So you have like this really chunky piece of Gesunter steak. So you cook it, it's mamish red at the bottom, but at the top, or whatever, it's fully cooked. But it's only the volume of a grogeres. It's only, right? So then I'm chayiv. Like, why if it's Meichel Ben Drusai, you have to flip the steak? So I'm not sure the answer to this question. I think it conceptually it's an interesting question. And I saw one of my rebbe. I went to Yeshiva Far Rockaway in high school, and one of the rebbeim there was he was like the head of the Beis Medrash, Rav Moshe Brown. He's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He wrote a sefer called Tevas Moshe. I'll probably be referring to the sefer a few times as we learn together. The sefer is on the Lama Tes Malach, also a very nice sefer. So Rabbi Brown argues that Bishul has two definitions. Bishul means that I take something which was raw and now I make it into food. That's one type of bishul. And bishul could also mean that the item really changed. Okay, let me give you an example. There's going to be a machlokas that we'll talk about bishul achar afiyah. Right? If something, let's say bread, was baked and then you cook it, right? So it's a machlokas between the Urim and the Ravya, whether there is Bishul Achar Afiyah or not. Over there, the issue at hand is whether there is a change in the item. But there's also a state of cooking that the item changed, and the item, the chafetz, as it were, is no longer ruah, but the chafetz is now considered a cooked chafetz. So it's possible, again, this is conjecture, but it's possible that if I want to change the chefza from ruah to not ruah, so it's got to be that the whole chefza changes. Right? Machal ben Shusai means the food is not ruah. The fact that a fleeing fugitive is going to eat it,
Right? That means it's not raw food. Now, if I want to say that this food item is not raw, it has to be that I'm redefining the food item. So I need two sides. But if I want to talk about cooking in the sense of making a real improvement, so there could be a real improvement if on just one side of the food, it now becomes very geschmack. It's now fully cooked. Right? I'm not changing the entire chetza. Now, you could technically say, well, one second, maybe that area you'll cut out, right? If I cook a kamachal ben jesoi, maybe I'll just cut it out and have top and bottom. But let's assume you're keeping the steak together. Tamar, you seem bothered.
And it becomes possible sides that happens. But even a bento side would not eat it.
Correct.
So that right now, where I'm talking about having a possible side, if you flip it, that is changing it from unedible even to abandoned to edible for abandoned. So you
Correct.
shouldn't be biased.
But edible to abandoned doesn't mean it's a significant enough change that's really, it doesn't really count that much. What it does is it takes something from being raw to being edible. But it's not, when I talk about a shinui, that you're chayiv on a shinui on the food. So if I go from afiyah to bishul, so that's considered a real shinui on the food. But let's say you have food which is fully cooked, but it's what the halacha considers mitztameh of yafelo, meaning that additional cooking will make the food even better. It's fully cooked. My cholent is fully cooked, but that extra bit of time will make the cholent even better. That's called mitztameh v'yafelo. That's not halachically a significant enough change. Right, so if so, there are certain types of changes. Again, to some extent, it's a judgment call. But if I want to say that the change is based on that, if I want to say, excuse me, that I'm chayiv for bishul because I'm changing the item, so it has to be what's called a significant change. And a significant change, if it's only on one side of the meat, it's only a significant change when it's considered in the special called sarco. This is the svar we're trying to present. Again, not compelling, not airtight, it's just conjecture. I think the question, very often, right, the questions are better than the answers. How come the Gemara says if it's Maichel Ben Jerusalem, you have to flip the steak? Why do I need Maichel Ben Jerusalem on both sides? It's hard to answer that kasha. Right? Mevushon called Sarko on one side of Chayiv, Maichel Ben Jerusalem if it's on both sides. So we're making a suggestion, but not compelling. Good. Let's take a deep breath. Let's go weiter. So we're talking about cooking something to the extent of Maichel ben Jrusoy, and it has to be on both sides. Turn to the Shar HaTzion in Simin Shin Yud Ches, Se'if Katin Hey. The HaTzion, remember the Chafetz Chaim. I asked a few Talmidei Chachamim this question. The Chafetz Chaim, to the best of my knowledge, is the first person who wrote Svarim with like three parts. Right? It's a little bit strange. You have the Shulchan Aruch, then there are three different types of commentaries. You have the Mishnah Berurah, where he quotes like the major poskim. You have the Bir Halacha, where he gives analysis. Then you have the Shar HaTzion, where he gives you sources, and also occasionally he makes a ha'ara, occasionally he makes a point, a halachically significant or interesting point. I don't know what goes where, and I don't know where he got the idea of the three parts of the halachic sefer. So he quotes the same idea in the Mishnah Berurah, it's in Se'if Katan Aleph, the same idea that we said that if the food is cooked, and it's cooked k'maychol ben jrusoy, so then it has to be on both sides. But if it's fully cooked, even if it's on one side, you're going to be chayiv. Sifkat in the Shar HaTzion, Sifkat in Hay. The Mishneh Berurah, Sifkat in Aleph. In the Shar HaTzion, Sifkat in Hay. Right, so he quotes that this is a Magen Avraham, the name of the Raivin and the El Yerabah, etc. That's like just the sources. And then after the two dots, Achal Ikar Haden Shehuzgar B'Gemara, Dal Kamacho Ben Drusai B'Inon Mishnei Tzadim Dafka. This halacha that for Maicho Ben Drusai, it's only if you cook it on both sides. So Yesh La'ayin. B'ma'ase huskar b'se'if tes u'b'magen Avram di'iroi mevashel k'dei klipa. Right, there's a halacha. There are different forms of heating sources to be chayav on Shabbos. Right, you could put food in a kli rishon. Kli rishon means that the pot was on the fire. I could take that water that was on the fire, put it into another container. That other container is called a kli sheni. And I could take the pot that was on the fire and pour it on something, and it's cooking that something through the pouring process. No? Like I could take my tea kettle and I want to make tea on Shabbos, theoretically, and I pour the hot water on the tea bag. That's considered Iroi. There's a machlokes rishonim, whether Iroi is considered bishul or not. Is ira like a kli rishon or is ira like a kli sheni? Machlokas Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashbam. We paskin that iroi is bishul. So if I cook something by pouring hot water on it, that's bishul. Okay, chevra. Now, question. When you pour hot water on something, do you think the cooking is going to get both sides of the something that it hits? Okay, so I'm not talking about a tea bag. A tea bag is like a tiny little thin thing. But let's say I pour hot water on my cowboy steak. Right? He's our friend today. So I pour hot water on my cowboy steak. You think it's gonna cook it through and through? Tosh this now. Agreed? Now, do you think when you pour the hot water on that cowboy steak, do you think it's going to affect Bishul Kol Tzarko? Or is it only going to be Michael Ben Jerusalem? Like Pashtus, what would you say? Right? Is it considered like Michael Ben Jerusalem through the Ivory, or is it considered full cooking through the Ivory? So even if I continuously pour, right? I pour and I pour and I pour. I think to use a Yiddish word, it's far-fetched to assume that it's going to get all the way cooked through and through.
You're also over right away.
Yeah, I'm over right away. Exactly. I'm over from that first drop. Although, what Tamara is saying is an interesting question, the halacha. If something is a continuous stream, so it could be that I view the whole right thing, right? It's not just, I'm not chayiv on the first drop of water that hit, I'm chayiv when, right? All of it came out because it's one continuous stream. So it's possible that you're cooking it all the way, right, through a continuous stream and a tremendous volume of water. I don't think it's likely. So that's the Chofetz Chaim's problem, right? Al Ikar Haden Shehuzga B'Gemara Dal Macho Ben Drusay B'Inan Mishnei Tzadim Dafka Yesh La'ayin, based on what we have in Se'if Tes and the Magen Avraham and Sif Katan Laman. Lamed Beis, that Iroi is Mvashuk Klipa. Umivur Sham Be'ezah Achronim Duka Maichel Ben Jerusai. Some Achronim say it's Maichel Ben Jerusai, right? Which, by the way, is, I think it's reasonable that Al Yedei Iroi is Maichel Ben Jerusai. Vahalo, Hurak Bitzad Echad. Dilo Adif May Agab Megacholim. Right? It's only on one side. And just like if I take a piece of meat, and I flip the meat, right? And the meat is only being cooked, Michael Ben Drusai. You're not going to be chayiv unless it is cooked on both sides. So how can you ever be chayiv on Iruy? The Efshar, says the Mishnah Berurah, Mishum demikol makom isura drabanan yesh, Aval hu davar chiddush v'tzarech iyon. Right, the Mishnah Berurah is saying this is, by the way, one of the biggest kulas in Judaism. Right, the Mishnah Berurah suggests he's not convinced, but he suggests maybe there is no chiyuv min haTorah if you cook something with iroi, because iroi is only going to be kedei klipa. Right? Well, I shouldn't say that. Yeah, Iroi is kedei klipa, which means it's not going through and through. And Iroi presumably is only cooking kemacho ben drusoi. So how could you be chayiv in that situation? That is a really strong question that the Mishnah Berurah asks. We good? So this is really... it's a strong question. I don't fully know the answer to this question. I don't know. The question that the Gemara says that you're chayiv if it's mecho ben yusai, only if it's on both sides, I don't really know. I really don't know the answer. Now, there's a further question that we'll have to talk about probably later on, which is, do I say ein bishol achar bishol to something that's cooked kemacho ben drusoi? I mean, the halacha is, for sure by a salad, that once it's cooked, you're not chayiv for further cooking. Ein bishol achar bishol, right? So if I have a cooked piece of chicken, right, and I further cook it in bishul achar bishul. So let's say the item is cooked only to the extent of macho ben drusoi, half, a third, whatever it is. So do I say ein bishul achar bishul in that case? This is a big issue that we'll talk about. It's a machlokes between the Rambam and the Rashba, but those are coming attractions. Sarah?
But what we just learned is that how you can leave food cooking if it's cooked on the side
before Shabbos
after Shabbos. If there's, if it, like that would be official.
Slowly?
If we just said you can have something cooked on the side before Shabbos
and leave it on the fire,
you can leave it. You can't consider that like that official.
Whoa. Let's go slowly. That's a case of Shehiyah. Shehiya means that I left it on the fire from Erev Shabbos, and it stays there. I'm not doing anything. Shehiya is not bishul, right? Bishul means I'm cooking on Shabbos. Shehiya means that I started the maisa on Erev Shabbos, and it continues to cook on Shabbos. Any maisa that starts on Erev Shabbos is not a malacha on Shabbos. And I have a proof. Does anyone like Shabbos candles? Well, what's the heter? Right? There's a fire that's burning on Shabbos. The answer is that the iser of lighting a fire is to light a fire on Shabbos. If it started on Erev Shabbos, it can continue on Shabbos, right? So in the case of Shehiyah, there might be an iser drabanan. Sometimes I'm not allowed to leave the food on the open fire, sometimes I can, depending on the rules and the regulations of how cooked it is, etc. But that's for sure not considered bishul. That's not considered bishul for sure. Because I'm not doing the maisa on Shabbos. We're good? Tamar, you had a comment?
And then back that. So how
dominant
is it in that Gemara?
I mean, that's a Gemara.
Okay, in the Gemara that this piece of meat is already on the plate. And then the question is, can we flip it or leave it? Like, how would that even be leaving for
the Well, the Gemara in Menachos is talking about Karbanis. It is like, we're applying a Gemara Menachos to Hilcha Shabbos. Right? So the item was on the flame beforehand. If I flip it, it's considered like I did a mice of bishul. Or let's say I'm a non-Kohen. The Gemara in Shavuos has the same type of idea. If I'm a non-Kohen, Mzar, and I flip that piece of meat that's on the fire, is that considered like I did an Avoda? Right? Only a Kohen could do an Avoda. I'm a non-Kohen. Right? So the same rules and regulations probably apply. This is what we have so far in terms of cooking to the extent of Machlo ben Shusai. That's talking about cooking solids. Cooking liquids is a different rule of cooking. Cooking liquids, the Gemara in Shabbos says that I give you the source, it's the ninth line in the Gemara when the lines get wide. Let's see if I count it right. Yeah, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The ninth wide line. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Echad Shemen, Echad Mayim, Yad Soladis Bo is Oser, Ein Yad Soladis Bo is Mutter. Right? This is a famous Gemara. If it's Yad Soladis, that's considered cooking. You cook water to the extent of Yad Soladis. You cook oil to the extent of Yad Soladis. So it's a problem. Not Yad Soladis is okay. Hechidomi Yad Soladis. So Amarach Vakosha Kreso Shaltinog Nechves. Right? Yad Soledes means that a baby's stomach, a kid's stomach, will be burned. Now, if you look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes, V'hechi dami, silud, yesh shesole mirisicha mu'etes, v'yesheno soled. Some people will recoil with a lower temperature. Others need a higher temperature. So therefore, the Gemara wants some objective definition of Yad Soledes. Zak the Gemara, I'll give you an objective definition. Kreso shel tinok nichves, when the stomach of the kid gets burned. Now, you're shaking your head and smiling because.
Well, first of all, it's pretty terrifying.
Yeah,
Whatever.
okay.
No, but it was
Poor
just
kid.
more, but it was more of like, if you ask a silly question, you get a silly answer. That was kind of where I was looking at it.
Right. In other words, I'm looking for an objective shear. And then I come up with this thing called kreso shel tinok nechves. I think in our world, we'd assume that this is not ethical. Right? Do not try this on your own baby, right? Or anyone else's baby. This is really, right? It's a hard thing to, it's a hard thing to figure out what exactly it means. What is Yad Soledes? By the way, the word Soledes is a pasuk in Iyov. Actually, we say it in the davening on Yom HaNoraim. Va'asalda b'chila panecha. Va'asalda b'chila panecha means I'm going to withdraw, retreat, because I'm scared of the face of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Right? That's va'asalda b'chila panecha. So, what exactly Yad Soledes is, it's very hard to figure out the temperature. If you look in Rabbi Ribiat's English Hilchos Shabbos book, he gives you various things and what their temperatures are. Bath water for a baby is around 102. Right, that might mean that you don't want baby's bath water to be hotter than that because the baby's going to get burned. And that could lead to a shear that many poskim say that 104 degrees Fahrenheit is called Yad Soledes. Because 104 is slightly above 102. The cheshbon of 104 is because some of the Gaonim say that the milk that comes out of a cow's udders is how we define Yad Soledes. When the milk first comes out, it's around 104. Not what?
Not based off of this.
Yes, that's a good question. Again, this is from the Bahag. Some of the Rishonim have a expression that Kol Divrei HaGaonim Kabbalah Hi. When the Gaonim say something, it's like tradition, you accept it. That's one shita. That Yad Soledes means 104. In Rabbi Eider's Sefer and Hilchos Shabbos, by the way, Rabbi Willig, in his Hilchos Shabbos book, Rabbi Willig gives you a lot of these positions. Let's show you what page this is. Here it's like page 13, 14. Right? He quotes Reb Shlomo Zalman that the temperature is the equivalent of 113 degrees Fahrenheit. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. That's like the most accepted shita in terms of Yad Soledes, 113. Right? Some say it's a 110, some say it's 120. And in Rabbi Eider's, sorry, Rabbi Eider, by the way, basically was the father of English language halacha svarim. He actually learned in YU. I believe he was the president of SOI, but he wanted to get shimush in halacha, so he used to go down to the Lower East Side to Rav Moshe. And whenever he had questions, he'd go to Rav Moshe. And the in Chelek Daled of Igros Moshe Siman Ayin Daled, he has all of his responses in Shilas and Hilchos Shabbos. Those are all questions that Rabbi Shimon Eider asked Rav Moshe. And they're all in Rabbi Eider's English language sefer. It's like the first, it's like the grandfather of the English language halacha books. So Rabbi Eider quotes that Rav Aaron Cutler said it's 110, Rav Moshe said it's like 120, and they got their measurement based on putting a finger in water. Well, that's very hard because that seems to be against Rashi. Because Rashi says, Yesh soled mersicha mu'etes, Yesh soled mersicha merubah, that some people recoil at a lower temperature, others recoil at a higher temperature. So how is it that Rav Aaron Cutler, Rav Moshe are using the shear of putting a finger in the water? So Rabbi Willig writes that presumably they experimented with a standard of most people. The average person will recoil at the average at the temperature of either 110 or 120, right? We did a statistically significant analysis. Any of you major in statistics or whatever? So, right, you do a statistically significant analysis and you figure out that some people say 110, some say 120. When the Gemara says, when Rashi understands the Gemara, that you can't just say Yad Soledes based on when you recoil, that means some people recoil at a lower temperature, some people recoil at a higher temperature, but we're defining it based on the average person and how much the average person recoils. That's the way they say it. Now, in Rabbi Ribiak's book, he gives approximate measurements for various items of what is at what temperature in terms of the Yad Soledes. So a cup of tea is around 165 degrees Fahrenheit, hot tea. Coffee with milk is around 125. And baby bath water is around 102. Those are the numbers he has. In Rabbi Ribiat's book, it's on page 557, page 558. That's where he has those numbers. Now, the Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach comes to a shear of 113 Fahrenheit, which is the equivalent of 45 Celsius. I totally don't remember elementary school and how you calculate from Celsius to Fahrenheit, but there's something that you add 32 or something. Okay, so you know how you remember how to do this. It's a lot better than I do. So Reb Shlomo Zalman writes, if you look, I put this on the source sheet. I put it from the Tshuva and the Mincha Shlomo, Siman Sadi Aleph, the second paragraph in this Tshuva. By the way, do you get like the updates in real time? Like I sent you the link, so you should get the updates right away. Huh?
We should use the Google Doc. We should use that link instead.
The Google Doc, I think in
We
the
don't
Google
work
Doc
well.
link, oh, you'll have it. If not, I could reshare it right now if it's easier. Do people have it? What? Okay,
Yes.
let me email it to you. It says that SB is on it. That's what's your email, Tamara?
That's YAS. We got it. Oh, I got
T1.
it. Okay, sorry. The first email, when I talk to you
Okay, fine. So everyone has it? Ms. Finkelstein, you have it? Okay, fine. So the second, it's the bottom, it's the middle of page two. I'm continuously updating. Yes, the Word document. Or, yeah. I mean, that's the way the YU system works. I realized last year they don't have to continuously send it to people because once you have the link, it changes. Okay, so Nirlafini Staiti, the second paragraph, Biram, Nirlafini Staiti, Raya Barura, Da'ar Arba'im Malos Celsius, Ein Lachosh Klal Shiyad Zoladispo, Gamid Oiraisa. I'm going to prove that until 45 Celsius, which for us means 113 Fahrenheit, there's no concern at all. Sha'arei nechleku amoroi b'gemara chulin daf chesam beis, in beis hashchita tzonein oroseach. There's a machlokes whether when you shecht an animal, is the beis hashchita, is that neck part of the animal. Remember, when I shecht an animal, I have to cut through rove of two simanim by an animal, right? The trachea and the esophagus, you have to cut rove of them. When animals are under stress, like they get hotter. So the question is the Beis HaShchita roseach or tzonein? Is that area considered halachically cold or halachically hot? In other words, let's say you shecht an animal with a treif knife. So does the animal become treif? I just use the animal for, I just use the knife for tarfus, and then I shecht an animal with that knife. Is the animal treif? There's a machlokes in the Gemara whether beis hashchita is tzonein or roseach. Ulofi ha'ikud da'ami shebe'Gemara moda kol yama the beis hashchita is tzonein. Okay, the Gemara says that according to one opinion that everyone agrees the beis hashchita is tzonein, and Rashi and the Rush say this is how we paskin, and therefore we assume that the knife with shechts is not going to absorb the treif, the blood, etc. And therefore, even if you shechted a treifa, the sakin does not absorb. If I shecht an animal, the animal is non-kosher. I mess up the shechita. The knife does not become non-kosher because we paskin beis hashechita's tzonein. And then he goes on. And he says in the beginning of the next paragraph, whatever it is, we paskin beis hashchita's tzonein. And even if your beis hashchita is roseach, the Gemara says that it's only roseach b'gmar shchita, the last bit. Lifnei gmar shchita, it's not a problem. And therefore, since me'ata, the third line in this last paragraph, Kevan de lo nizkar klal beposkim shum chiluk bein sakin sheshachat ba behema the sakin sheshachat ba of. There's no distinction between shechting an animal and shechting a bird. So pashat ubarur deshkulin ninhu ve'ein shum makom lechalik beinayim. The poskim never distinguish between shechting bird and shechting animals. V'hinei bizmanenu yidu'a umeforsam D'shir midas hacham shel barvaz cholok mibnei adam shem be'erech shloshim v'sheva ma'alos. Human beings, the temperature, the body temperature is roughly 37. 37 should be 98.6. Right? Celsius to Fahrenheit calculator. Right? I think humans are around 37. And it's not like a shor and a parah that their temperature is not above 40, but the temperature of a barvaz, bari, the temperature of a healthy duck, is approximately 45 Celsius. And the blood that leaves that is going to go down 1 degree. And when it's sick, the temperature goes up about 2 degrees. And therefore, since we pass in the base hashrita is sonein, so therefore, unless it is about 48 degrees, right, it's not going to be roseach. But even if we assume that these animals, these barvazim, these ducks, don't get hotter in the shrita, it seems obvious, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, that the beginning of the shrita, if for sure, is tzonein, and the beginning of a shrita of a duck is 45 degrees Celsius. So therefore, you don't have to worry that anything beneath 45 degrees Celsius is for sure not Yad Sol Ha Despo. So this is Reb Shlomo Zalman. The temperature of Yad Sol Ha Despo is the temperature of a barvaz, which apparently has the highest body temperature. You have to experiment. Like, what's the body temperature of humans, of sheep, of oxen, etc.? And ducks have the highest body temperature. So Hava's having a good time with this already. Huh? And the hottest body temperature is a duck, and that's 45 Celsius. Anything beneath 45 Celsius is not called roseach. 45 and above is roseach. And therefore, it's roseach is the equivalent of Yad Sol Ha Despo. Right? Beis Hashchita roseach is the same as Yad Sol Ha Despo. So therefore, he says, what's it called? Therefore, he wants to say that 113 is the definition of Yad Sol Ha Despo. That's Reb Shlomo Zalman. Now, is there any way to deflect this proof?
I just pulled it. Normal body temperature for duck species is 107.5
degrees. So you make it lower. That's a big chumrah. Okay. So apparently there's some ducks that the temperature is higher. I don't know. I am not a duckologist. But okay. I mean, so you could question it on the Metzius. You could question it Lahachmir. There's another way to question it, though, which is based on what's the issue at hand in the Gemara in Chulin. The issue at hand is, if I shecht an animal, does the animal become treif or does the knife become treif? That's a question that we would call in Halacha Blia rather than Bishul. No? How many of you learned like kashrus with Rabbi Berger? Anyone? Right. Blia means that it absorbs halachically. Bishul means it cooks. In halacha and yerideya, many rishonim hold that a kli sheni absorbs. So if I have chazer, hot chazer, and I pour it into a kli sheni, or I don't pour it, I have a kli sheni of water, and I put a piece of chazer in the kli sheni of water, does my cup become treif? So in Yerideya, many assume, the Ramban holds, that the cup becomes treif. A kli sheni absorbs. There's bli on a kli sheni. In Hilcha Shabbos, it's like a categorical assumption that kli sheni is not going to cook. So there's a difference between Bishul and Blia.
Does that matter?
Does that what?
Like that is that is that the same? But can you still say that they're similar when it comes to temperature?
You know, it's possible, but it's also possible that they're not at all similar, right? I know that there are distinctions in halacha between Bishul and Bliya. I know that exists. So I could also say, therefore, that there is no proof at all from that Gemara in Chulin, because that Gemara in Chulin is only talking about Bliya. Like Reb Shlomo Zalman's proof is very questionable. And if you look in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa in Perek Aleph Ha'or Gimel, he points out the question on this argument. It's very questionable. So if I can't compare Bishul to Bliya, so then all bets are off. Is if you look in the Ritva on Shabbos, did I put, it could be I didn't put this on the Maror HaKomis mistakenly. So if you look in the Ritva on Shabbos on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph, right? The Ritva, it's Dibur HaMaaseh Aval Nosein. The Ritva over there writes, is there a Ritva on Shabbos in this room or not? Whatever. The Ritva in Shabbos makes exactly this point, that you can't prove anything from the sugya of Sak and Beis Ha, whether the Beis HaShchita is Tzonin or Oseach, because he says, listen, there's a difference between Bliya and Bishul. Pardon me. And the Ran also points this out, that you can't prove anything from the disc from Bliya to Bishul. So if I can't prove anything from Bliya to Bishul, so that Gemara is off. There's no proof in that from that Gemara. And maybe the temperature for Bishul is higher. Maybe it's lower. I don't know. I don't know what the temperature is. So Rabbi Willig, this is on page 13 in his sefer, in the English sefer. He quotes that the Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman that Yad Soledes is not less than 45 Celsius, which is 113. I think some allow 110, others allow 120, etc. He writes on, we'll talk about the next point, the bottom of 14. The Rashba has a criteria that a person does not drink, or it's the top of page 14, and then we'll jump a little bit. The Rashba states that a person does not drink or bathe in Yad Soledes water. Okay, if the water is Yad Soledes, you won't bathe in it. So far, so good. Now, the average person can tolerate about 113 degrees Fahrenheit in their showers, which confirms the Rashba and the Shmir Shabbos. And then he writes, New York City code requires landlords to maintain hot water at 115 to 120. Right? If any of you live in the building and your water is not between 115 and 120, I guess you can call the New York City Department of whatever, 311. I think that's what you would call. It has to be between 115 and 120. Higher than that can cause scalding. Lower than that is not hot enough for some people to shower or wash dishes. Since most of us add some cold water to cool our shower temperature somewhat, 113 of the Shmir Shabbos is a good approximation of Yad Soledes. That's Rabbi Wallach's argument. Okay, Chevra, who wants to deflect this argument?
That's when it is like jumping out.
Yeah, and therefore, good. Hotter or Yad Soledes means I jump out. That might mean that I don't know what the temperature is. And I put my hand over there and like, ah, but I could prepare myself for a hotter temperature, and then I could withstand a hotter temperature. If I know it's going to be hotter, I'll take a deep breath and I'll handle it. Right? Is that reasonable?
Things like this, typically you don't want to be.
But does that mean with preparation, without preparation? When I'm aware that it's hot, not aware. Right, so I can't mentally prepare myself if I'm unaware. When I shower, I am mentally prepared.
Jump into the shower.
Correct. But I'm ready for a certain amount of heat, right? I'm getting into the shower. I'm ready for a certain temperature. Or, right, I'm not going to jump out of the shower. Even if I would be stunned by water at that temperature, I might recoil. But if I'm prepared, I know I'm going in the shower, so it could be a lower temperature. It could be, excuse me, a higher temperature than would be Yad Soledad otherwise. That's one ha'ara. Next ha'ara, the Gemara says, Heichi dami Yad Soledad, call. Shekreso shel tinok nichves.
Word.
What?
Right. It would be a lesser temperature.
Correct. Kids should be, again, a baby bath is a l lower temperature than an adult shower. You put your elbow in. But that's how you test the baby bath water, right? So that's what some people do, where they put like a cloth. The babies are very young. You like now, it's not abundantly clear that that is also a raya, right? That would lead if I just use baby bath water, that the 104 degree might be might make more sense. But the thing is that. The word nichvet, what does nichvet mean? I know this is going to be a little bit gross, but nichvet could mean that it's burned to the extent that it leaves a mark. Right? So that could be a higher temp. You're not going to want to bathe your baby in hot water, given. But at what temperature would the baby get a mark? Yes.
Are we talking about a burn, or are we talking about skin just reacting and then getting a little bit red?
Unclear. I mean, if you want the Maor Makom who talks about this in the Tshuvas B'nei Banim in Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin's Tshuvas, he has a discussion about exactly that question. I don't know if there's any real proof. In other words, what you're suggesting is that sometimes like you get red, right? But it doesn't leave a real mark. And when it leaves a real mark, are we talking about a first degree burn, a second degree burn? Like, I don't know, right?
Mark the last.
How long does it have to last, right? Like, there are no absolute answers here, which is why there is such a big machlokas. But here is the other thing.
Yad Soledet.
Like, just like we spoke about in terms of Maichu ben Shrusoi, that there's a chumrah and a kula. Yad Soledet also has a chumrah and a kula. Right, the chumrah means if I cook something to Yad Soledet, I violate cooking on Shabbos. There's a kula that when I, let's say, heat wine up to Yad Soledet, and then a goy, by the way, people make a mistake. They think that if a goy just moves a bottle of wine, it becomes treif. That's not true. If a goy pours a bottle of wine, it becomes treif. Right? Fine. But let's say I have yayin mevushal. That means that the wine was heated to Yad Soledet. And then, right, the guy pours it. Does your wine become treif? That's Yad Soledet as a kula, not a chumra. Yad Soledet in a kula sense, so there's a discussion in the poskim. The discussion in the poskim, Yad Soledet in the kula sense, some say it's like 171 Fahrenheit. Some say it's like 180 Fahrenheit. That's much hotter, right? So now you realize Shigishkan par atzum, right? There's a gigundous gap between these temperatures. Yeah.
Do we distinguish between the liquid stuff?
So the Gemara speaks about mayim and shemen,
Not about yayin.
not about yayin. Again, the assumption is that once something is yad soledis, there's no yayin, there's no iser of maganochri. That's the assumption. That's the yad soledis v'hakel. By the way, there's another way of saying yad soledis as a kula, in the sense of a kula in the higher temperature. There's a principle in halacha in Hilchos Shabbos that Maaseh Shabbos is aser. Right? In other words, let's say a Jew b'mezid does a malacha on Shabbos, so you can't get benefit from that item. Nachon? Right? You have somebody turns on the light on Shabbos, knowing it's Shabbos, knowing everything. Right? You can't get benefit. Maaseh Shabbos is aser. If, however, there is any shita to rely on, so then it's not considered an iser of Maaseh Shabbos. So let's say someone heats water to 160 degrees, right? Can you drink the tea that they made? They heat water to 160. Can you drink that tea? Right? That's another example of a Yad Soledes Lahakel. And it's reasonable that for those purposes, we would use the higher temperature of Yad Soledes. What? If you go to someone's house for Shabbos and then they put water right in the tea bag, or worse than that, they take a pot of cold water, they put it on the stove, right? And it doesn't boil. They just pour it out, right? Boiling is like 212 in the New York area. In other, right? At different altitudes, it boils at lower temperatures, higher temperatures, whatever it is. But they cook water on Shabbos and they make you a cup of tea. Can you drink the tea? The cup of tea, Rabbi Ribiat did his experiment, is around 165 Fahrenheit. That's beneath higher Yad Soledes. One could argue, consequently, that there's no Isser of Maaseh Shabbos. Again, this is one of the things that we mentioned in the introduction, which is one of the reasons to know Hilchos Shabbos very well is, again, obviously you should gently give the people Musar, etc. Don't do this. But in terms of, do you have to like run out of the house and pour out the cup of tea, right? It's very reasonable that there's no Isser Maaseh Shabbos unless you hit higher Yad Soledes. Slowly.
Why would we?
Why would we be Makel? Because the Pri Megadim, and it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah and Shin Yud Ches Se'if Katan Hey, all the Acharonim say that there's no Isser of Maaseh Shabbos if there is something to rely on. If there is any Kula Shita, there is no Maaseh Shabbos. So since there's a Kula Shita that Yad Soledes is 180, right? So therefore my tea might not be treif. That's a very big Kula, Chevra, no? That's a very big Kula. Now, until here, I think has been until here has been like relatively standard. Let's go back to the shiur that we had last time, where we spoke about that there are three categories of bishul: non-food, solid, liquid. Right? And we pointed out that the shiur of how much do you have to, what's it called, to violate the iser and to bring a carbon. So the shiur of mayim, the Rambam said, is what? Rambam, shiur of mayim. What? Someone said it.
I don't know how to
Right? In other words, to to bathe your pinky, a small limb, right? Which meant, right? I said from Rabbi Shulman, that meant that the dinim of Bishul b'mayim are based on rules of bathing. So here's the idea, Chevra. It's possible that lower yad, it's very hard to understand how you can have such a gap between, let's say, 104 and 180, right? There's a lot of space between them. 76 degrees is a lot. So it could be that they're operating with two different maslulim. They're two completely different tracks within cooking water. There's the drinking water track, right? We said that you drink a cup of tea at around 165. Now, Rabbi Willig points out, by the way, that it could be that when you have tea that's 165, that's not called drinking, that's called sipping. Maybe drinking is when you drink uninterrupted. Okay, but you certainly drink stuff at a higher temperature than you bathe. So it's entirely possible that these different maslulim are based on whether I'm looking at bathing or I'm looking at, what's it called? I'm looking at drinking. What's my paradigm for what's it called? What's my paradigm for Bishul of Mayim? Now, what could emerge from this that we'll have to talk about next time is, let's say I have water which is at 113. Can I heat that water up higher? Right? That's a very large question that we'll discuss Bezos Hashem on Tuesday. That's a very big question. Okay. Any questions or comments or observations on what we've done so far? Like for me, this is a good stopping point now, just because if I continue, we're going to open up like very large conversations. Any questions, comments on what we've done? Yes, Sarah? Yeah.
The fact that you have glia in a sheet in a clear sheet, that means that there's glia at a lower temperature.
Well, not so.
Essentially, like finding a random difference between
So
the two doesn't make a
we,
difference.
if there are two ways of understanding. I have five ways of understanding the difference between the kli rishon and the kli sheni. One way is saying that kli sheni by definition is a lower temperature than kli rishon, but that's not the most accepted. The more accepted approach is that there's like a formal distinction between kli rishon and kli sheni, which would lead, like what you said at the beginning. It's that I see there's a difference between Bishul and Bliya. Adkan, there's such a difference. Once there's such a difference, so therefore I have no proof from the base Hashchita because you can't prove anything from the world of Bliya to the world of Bishul.
Even the Nakuda, the difference has nothing to do with anything that
Correct.
we're trying to compare it to.
I mean, that's
It has to
what.
make like any comparison. You know what I mean? Like, enough, no two things are going to be the same. They want to work from one to the other.
Well,
Like, it has to be on the Nakuda, what you're trying to learn.
so yes and no. Once I see that there are differences in halacha between Bliya and Bishul, which there are, and I know that Gemara in Chulin is about Bliya, so maybe the word roseach in that Gemara in Chulin has a different. There's something in English, like, that two words sound exactly the same, but they mean something different. Homonyms, right?
Names are the same sound. They can have only
Right?
the
Homophone, right? So a homophone, like the word glasses, does glasses mean this, or do glasses mean my cup that I drink from? It's the same exact word. The word roseach is the same word, but roseach in the halacha of yerideya, in the halacha of absorbing taste, has a different meaning than roseach in Hilchos Shabbos. Right?
I thought it was the sound that it was considered cold. So you think that?
So cold is the opposite of hot. In other
Yeah.
words, that Gemara in Chulin is talking about roseach versus tzonein, but that Gemara is talking about halachas of yerideya, halachas of absorbing flavor. So that's what I wanted to speak about in Shabbos today. Any other questions, Tamar?
Does it matter if someone put a pop out is food for a baby?
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, I think what you're saying is that.
I'm like frozen breast in my
Oh,
freezer.
right. So in
But
turn,
now I'm not.
so again, in terms of heating frozen breast milk, we'll talk about that at length. The best thing to do is to heat it in a kliyshani, which will work.
Yeah, that will work. But is that
Yes.
why?
It's mutter because it's not bishul. There's no bishul in the kliyshani. And the fact this iser derabanan of changing state we're make on that like b'makom hatzorech, giving the baby breast milk is a tzorech. What?
That's true.
Yeah.
I think there exists formula.
Mean, the assumption is that mother's milk is much healthier for babies than formula. I think it's if you have to use formula, you use formula. But yeah, I think that's a pretty reasonable assumption. To heat up, we'll talk at length. Rabbi Warlick has some big chumras about heating bottles on Shabbos. We'll talk about it. But I mean, like, I'll say it right now, very quickly. Can I put the bottle under the spout for the urn? Can I do Iruy to heat up the bottle on Shabbos? So Rabbi Willig, for reasons that we'll discuss later on in the Zman, Rabbi Willig is machmir natu, but there is real grounds, I think, to be makel.
That would be like it's much better just
In a kliyshani, it's easier,
yeah.
right? But in a kliyshani, there are potential issues of hatmana that we'll have to talk about because the bottle is enveloped, it's surrounded by the liquid. So that's a potential. We'll talk about it. Yes, Hashem. If you're asking halacha lamaisa, so you can use a kliyshani. But in terms of the lumdus, yeah. Okay, so that is what we want to talk about over here.